We're holding on Mem Aleph Amud Beis, beginning the fourth perek of the Masechta. It's a new perek, but as is often the case in Shas, we're continuing at the beginning of the perek with the topic of the previous one, and then later on in the perek, we're going to digress to, and start talking about other things. So here, the previous perek was all about the dinim of Onus and Mefata, so now we're continuing with an angle about that, specifically about who gets the money for these various things, and eventually that's going to lead us into other topics about what the father gets from his daughter in terms of her earnings and other such things. And we're going to talk about later on in the parak about another din that applies only to a naira, namely Motzi Shemra, which we've touched on before, and so forth. So the Mishnah begins, Naila Shemispatza, a girl who was the subject of pituri, where she was seduced into having a relationship. So now we said in the previous parak that there are three things that the guy pays. He pays a knas, depending on whether he marries her or not. We said either he marries her and then that money becomes a ksuba, which will eventually be paid out, as a ksuba usually is, if he dies or divorces her. Or he doesn't, and then he pays the knas. In addition, he said also he pays for boshes and pagam. So the Mishnah says, boshto pgamo knasa shalaviha. So the boshes and the pagam and the knas itself all go to her father, because we've been saying before that as long as the girl is a ktana or a naira, then she's under her father's rishus, and therefore any money that she earns goes to her father. Vatsar b'tfusa, and in addition, if she was an anusa, then there's also the tsar, as we learned in the previous parak. The word tfusa literally means the one that was grabbed. That's actually the expression when the Torah uses the expression that somebody grabbed her and raped her. It uses the expression sfasa b'shachav ima. The word oinas itself, it doesn't appear in those psukim. So as you hear, the Mishnah is using the expression of the pasuk, so the word was sfasa, and getting the word tfusa from it. So all those things go to the father. Continues the Mishnah. Now let's go into details in that. If she went to Beis Din to sue the guy for these for all this money before the father died, then like we said, that's when all this money goes to the father. And the point is, in other words, even if the din Torah was decided only after the father passed away, but we're saying that we're saying that since it was brought while he was alive, then it goes to him. And now if the father passes away, then it goes to the brothers. Because then they yarshin, if she has brothers, then they yarshin him as usual. On the other hand, while he speak a lamin badina to Mesa'ab, but if she didn't even take the person to Beis Din while her father was alive, Harein Shal Atzma, then the money goes to herself. So now Rashi points out because we're going to learn later on in the parak that when a person has, they're like this, the father has certain right to this money because of what his daughter got, but he doesn't have the ability to bequeath that to his sons. It's called Einar Modish Livnoi Zchus. A person does not have the ability to bequeath to his sons a schus that the Torah gave him regarding his daughter. In effect, in other words, Gemara is going to bring a pasuk that says, in effect, that would be, if we were to say that, it would amount to, in a certain sense, as if he's bequeathing his daughter to his sons, which are her brothers, and the Torah doesn't give him the ability to do that. So therefore, the money belongs to her. Another point is, anyway, Mephoshim points out that since this is a knas over here, then anyway, until they actually go to Beis Din, there's nothing really for him to bequeath to his children, because a knas is not regular money.
Not even if he's a knas, though, or I don't know how old she is.
Not even if what? Sorry, you're breaking up.
It doesn't matter how old she is, the money goes
to her. We're talking about so far when she's not a begeris. If she's a begeris, then that's another thing. That's the next part of the Mishnah. So here we're talking about she's still a katana or a naira, and we're saying, therefore, that so we're saying, but now that her father is dead, then nevertheless, she's still in her own reshus because her father is dead. Yeah, if she's a begeris, then anyway, she's in her own reshus. That's the next part of the Mishnah. Now, with that said,
Being a Nara, does the father have the right to the Karen and to the Paris, or only to the Paris?
No, to the Karen itself. The Karen itself is paid to him. Paris would be something else. That's
But can he waste the Karen? Can he waste it? Can he do whatever he wants?
No, if the Lord belongs to him, he can do with it whatever he wants. And if
so, she's never compensated. The girl is never compensated.
Right. I mean, that's kind of how it is. When she's a Tana or a Naira, then yeah, I mean, if the father has, if the father is a decent guy and looking out for his daughter's welfare, then of course, he'll set aside some of it for her. But in principle, it's his earnings, just like anything else. Just like we're going to talk about later on in the Mishnah, for example, we're going to say that any of her Maisia Deha, anything that she finds belongs to her father. So here it's the same thing. Yes, it was caused by something that happened to her. Nonetheless, though, the father has the full rights to that money. But again, now the Mishnah is saying that if he passed away before they even opened the case in Beis Din, then we're saying that it goes to her. Now, with that said, though, there you have a machlokas rishonim. Does that apply both to an anusa and to a mafuta? The Ramban argues, on the face of it, we talked about in the previous perek the idea that if she's a mafuta, then it means that she was moichel. In effect, she was moichel on this when she agreed to have relations with the guy. So how can we now make him pay for it? On the face of it, she was moichel at the time. So he says that maybe this part applies only when she's an anusa. So in other words, if the father is alive and it's going to him, then she doesn't have the ability to be moichel that anyhow, because she can say, okay, I'm moichel on my own boshus and whatever, but her father can say, I'm not moichel. But if the money is going to her, then the Ramban and a few other Rishonim argue that maybe in that case it shouldn't be going to her anyway. On the other hand, the Ritva and several other Rishonim argue that even so it would still go to her. We could say that she was moichel at the time, but nevertheless, so maybe there are some of the payments that don't have to be paid, but there are at least others, maybe at least the knas that would still have to be payable to her. Tosfos, on the other hand, takes a whole different view of it. Tosfos points out, on the face of it, the knas, I understand why we just said that a person can't bequeath the knas that he's getting on behalf of his daughter to his sons, because then in effect he'd be bequeathing his daughter herself to them, as the Gemara is going to tell us later on Daf Mem Gimel. But what about the boshes of gam? Aren't they mammon? Aren't they a regular payment of money? And Tosfos says actually that once we learned in the previous parak that we have a hekesh between the boshes and gam and the we learned from the psukim that mentioned boshes and gam. In effect, you have a hetish between them and the knas, and therefore maybe all of them go together. If the knas is not payable to the sons after the father passed away, then neither is the boshes and gam, and therefore necessarily all of them have to go to her. So again, then you have the other rishonim that discuss the question: would they in fact go to her in the case of a mafuta, or would we say that she was moichel on them? Anyway, it continues the mission.
And during the life of the father, before he passes away, can he just give that money to his sons if he wishes to?
The pashtus, it's his money. He can do with it whatever he wants. That's what.
So why can he? So why does if that's his money? Why do we say that after his death it has to go back to her?
No. So we're saying there's two different things. One is where the case was opened and based in while he was alive. So now it becomes money, which belongs to him. So then that's money of his like anything else. So then it's bequeathed to his sons. What we're talking about is where it's not yet mammon, where it's still in the stage of knas, where the case has not been opened and based in, or to be exact, I guess, where the case has not been decided and based in yet. So then it's not his yet, so that it's not his to bequeath to his sons. Later on, the Gemara is going to learn on Daf Mem Gimel from a pasuk that in that case, then he doesn't have the ability to bequeath it to his son. So therefore, of necessity, it goes to her.
Well, that's obvious. Well, it hasn't been decided. One second. If it hasn't been decided, how can it go to her?
Because once it's decided, then it's going to go to her. That's the point. Once
so is it decided or it's not decided? It's either
right
one or the
now,
other.
When the case was brought to Beis Din, then her father has already passed away. So now we don't say that hypothetically if he had been alive, then it would have gone to him and therefore now it should go to his sons. We don't say that. Instead, we're saying it goes to her.
So she brought the case to Beis Din or he brought the case to Beis Din and then he passed away?
Well, doesn't really matter. I mean, when we talk about Umda Badin over here, what we really mean over here is the case was decided while he was alive or after he passed away. Because once the case is decided, then it's no longer considered knas. When the Beis Din tells the guy you have to pay X amount, then at that point it's not really a knas anymore. Then at that point it's regular money. All right, so let's go on. Some of these issues will also be a little clearer as we go through the Gemara, as we'll see. So the Mishnah continues. Omda Badin Adshalet Bogra. Here's another case where the case was brought to Beis Din before she became a Begeres. So again, Harei and Shoav, then the money goes to the father because, again, we said as long as she's a Katana or a Naira, then the money goes, then the money for these things goes to her father. Nesav, and then when the father dies, Harei and Shoachin, then the sons inherit it, as would usually be the case. On the other hand, Lois speak a lama Badin Adshalet Bogra, but if she didn't have a chance to go to Beis Din until she became a Begeres, then the money belongs to her. So in other words, what we're saying is there's two possibilities where the money belongs to her. One is where her father died before the case was brought to Beis Din, before the case was decided in Beis Din, really. And the other one is where she became a Begeres before the case was decided in Beis Din. Either of those things, her father dying or her becoming a Begeres, takes her out of the Rishos of her father, and therefore that money goes to her. And here you have that discussion, that machlokas among the Rishonim. Would all that apply even in the case of a Mefuta, or would it be like the Ramban says that in the case of a Mefuta, then if she becomes independent, her father dies or she becomes a Begeres, would we maybe say that there's nothing at all? Because at that point, we would say that in effect she was moichalit by agreeing to be seduced in the first place. Anyway, continues the Mishnah of Shimon Omer, Im lo hispika ligbos ad shemesa'av, harei en shel atzma. Rav Shimon says it's not a matter of going to Beis Din; it's a matter of the actual collecting. If she wasn't able to collect the money until the father died, then the money belongs to her. So it's not a matter of when the case was decided in Beis Din, but when she actually collected it. There is in fact a different girsa. And a different explanation that it means he's not only arguing when Mesa'ab, he's also arguing when Bagra, same thing, that he would say whether Mesa'ab or Bagra, either of those cases, that now the money belongs to her, but the key factor is not when the case was decided and based in, but rather when she actually collects the money. As we'll discuss in the Gemara, on Membeis and Membeis, why Rav Shimon says that. Continues the Mishnah. Maisi Adero Mitziosa. Now, when a girl is a Katana or a Naira, and she earns money, while her father was alive, or Mitziosa, or she found money, Afa Pishalei Govsa, then, even if she didn't collect that money while her father was alive, then Nesa'av Harein Shalachin, then if the father dies, then it goes to the brothers, because unlike Knas, where we said, unless we actually go to Beis Din and testify, keep in mind, we learned in the previous Perek that the concept of Moedib Knas Potter. So if when the case is brought to Beis Din, before we bring Edim, if the guy were to stand up there in Beis Din and said, yes, I was Oinus, so I was Mefata, then he would be Potter from the Knas. And then again, he might not necessarily be Potter. He won't necessarily be Potter from Bereshis and Pagam, but still they kind of all go together. So therefore it's not yet Mamon, until the Edim actually come, and then he doesn't have that out anymore. So therefore we can talk about whether whether the case was decided while he was alive and while she's still a Naira, or after he passed away, or after she became a Begeres, as opposed to, the Mishnah is saying, Maisia Dea and Tziyasa, those, there's no matter of Knas at all. Those, she earned that money fair and square, and she's definitely supposed to be getting it. There's no out over there where someone can go to Beis Din and say, and have a valid claim to say that he doesn't have to pay it. Therefore, that money is considered her father's to begin with, and therefore, when he passes away, then he bequeaths it to his sons, just like any other money that he has. Which we'll deal with that point in more detail in the Gemara tomorrow, Bas Hashem, and we'll also deal with the Mishnah uses the expression afakishle govsa, even though she didn't collect the money. What do you mean? When it comes to mitziyasa, there's no govsa. She found it. That's that. So we'll see in the Gemara what that thought means. So in short, then, what we're saying is so far that when it comes to knas, there's a difference between and the things that go along with knas. There's a difference whether there's a difference whether she's still under the reshus of her father at the time that it was decided that this knas has to be paid, or according to Reb Shimon, when it's actually paid out, versus when she's not in his reshus, where then we're saying it goes to her, as opposed to things that are not knas, then we say it doesn't make a difference. As long as the Maisi Adel was done while her father was alive and while she's under her reshus, or as long as the Metzia was found while he's alive, then it goes eventually to her brothers like the rest of his estate. Okay, so the Gemara starts off. My Kamash Malan. Now, when you're telling me in the Mishnah, the first part, the first line, the first two lines of the Mishnah are saying that when she's a Naira, the Burshis and the Pagam and the Knas, and in the case of an anusa, also the tsar goes to her father. So first of all, my kamash malan. What is the Mishnah? What is the chiddush that the Mishnah is telling us? Tanena, we learned in the previous parak. I'm a fata nois and shloish advarim v'ha oynas arba. We said that I'm a fata has to pay three kinds of things. The oynas has to additionally pay a fourth one. I'm a fata nois and boshes of gam of knas. Merciful of onus, shenois and asatar. So we know already from the previous parak what different kinds of payments there are. What is the Mishnah adding by listing these things again? And the answer is, la'avia, it's directly. Okay, the chiddush is not so much the different kinds of payments. You're right, that we had in the previous parak. The chiddush is that it goes to her father. Masa la'avia nami pshita. That's also obvious. The Mishnah didn't have to tell us that. Midka yohid mefata. After all, we see that a mefata has to pay at all. The ilatzma amai yohid mefata. If when she was a ktana or a naira and her father was alive, if the payments were to go to her, then by mefata there'd be nothing to pay. You could say midaita alban. After all, he did it. After all, he did it with her das. So in effect, we would say that she was moichel. Now, Tosfos points out, fine, you could say, we learned in the previous perek, that the Chachamim hold that this concept of onus and mefata applies when she's a ketana as well. When she's a ketana, she doesn't have the ability to be moichel, she doesn't yet have das. So you could say that the Mishnah is talking about that, but still, since our Mishnah is a continuation, is a direct continuation of the previous perek, which started Elo Nairus. So therefore, we have, and our Mishnah also, for that matter, begins with Naira Shinispatza. So therefore, so evidently we have to be talking about a Naira as well. Now, a Naira has the ability to be Moichel. And if it was Pituri, then we would assume that she is Moichel because she agreed to, the seduction. So therefore, so obviously then the only reason you would have to pay out is because the father is involved over here, because he has rights over his daughter, and therefore he has the rights to that money. So again, so it's pretty obvious then that the money has to be paid to him, because otherwise there'd be nothing to pay by Mefata. So the fact that the Mishnah over here uses the expression Shalavia is not really much of a chiddush either. And the answer is Omdavadin, it's Trichalai Plug to Dirab Shimon Rabbanan. You're right, the first few lines of the Mishnah are not really such a chiddush. The chiddush is more the continuation of the Mishnah, where it talks about the difference between whether the case was decided and based in while the father was alive and while she's a Naira, or whether it's not enough for the case to have been decided and based in, whether the money actually has to have been collected, where there you have the machloikas of Rav Shimon and the Chachamim. So that's really the chiddush of our Mishnah, and therefore it begins by introducing it with the basic facts that we knew so far, namely that there were three or four different kinds of payments and that they ordinarily go to the father. So then within that, the Mishnah starts telling us what happens about the different cases where the father passed away or where she became a begeres before or after the case was decided or before or after the money was collected. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to go into a different topic that also relates to this matter of onus and pitui, but not directly that relates to the payment of it, but rather to a side issue involving a shrua on it. And then eventually the Gemara on Omid Beis is going to bring in our Mishnah to try to prove it one way or the other. So the Gemara says, Tznan Hossam, we learn in a Mishnah in Shavuos. Now we have like this. There's a number of different kinds of shvua for which a person is there's a few cases where if a person swears a shvua falsely, then they have to bring a korban. One of them is called shvuas hapikadon, and more generally, not just pikadon, but any kind of a shvua of toyin v'nitan. So if one person says if Reuven says to Shimon, you owe me money, and I'm beswearing you that you owe me that money. And the other guy, Shimon, is claiming that he doesn't owe it. But Reuven says, in that case, are you willing to take a shvua that that's the case, that you don't owe that money? And Shimon says, yes. And the Gemara and Shavuos discusses that that has to be inside based in, but whatever. But later it turns out that shvua was false and he wants to do tshuva. So later on, when he does tshuva, there's a number of things he has to do, and one of them is that he has to bring a korban. He has to bring a korban osher for that. When we say in morning davening, in Ezer Mekoyman, Hashem Gzelos, Hashem Ne'ilos, etc., that's the Hashem Gzelos is what we're talking about, where Reuven says to Shimon, you owe me X amount, and Shimon says, I don't. And Reuven says, will you swear to it? And Shimon says, yes. And he swears on his own. And he answers Amen to Reuven's shvua, and then later on, he does tshuva, then among other things, he's bringing an osher. So we learn in a Mishnah and Shavuos about the details of that. If Reuven says, Onasto pitisa esbiti, if Reuven says to Shimon, you were ma'anes, or you were mafata, my daughter, v'hu and the loyonasti, and Shimon says, I did not, loyonasti v'loy pitisi, and Shimon denies it, and Reuven says, mashbiahani, well, in that case, I'm going to beswear you to that effect, v'oma omen, and Shimon says, omen, which is that he accepted the shavu on himself, and later on he admitted that it was a lie, and in fact that he swore falsely. So chayev, then he's chayev to pay. So he has to give the korban osham. He also has to pay keren v'chodesh. He also has to in all these cases of a false shavua like that, he also has to pay an extra 25%. Now Reb Shimon Poiter, on the other hand, Reb Shimon says that he would be potter from the Keren v'Chomesh and the Osham, she'enem v'shalom knas api atzmai. Because Reb Shimon says, after all, he doesn't pay a knas based on his own admission, as we learned at the end of the previous parak. You need edim for it. Now what would happen if, when Reuven says, you were ma'anes and mafata or mafata, my daughter, if Shimon at that point were to say, yes, indeed I did, then he'd be potter, because mo'di b'knas potter. So now when he denies the claim, you can't call it a shvua of kfiras mamon, because there's not necessarily mamon yet. Reuven would have had to bring edim to Beis Din to say that Shimon actually did this. Omruloy, and the Chachamim answered Reb Shimon, that's not the same thing. Fine, it may be true that he doesn't pay the knas on his own admission, but he does pay the boshes and the pagam on his own admission, and therefore that's enough for it to be considered a taina of mammon and a kfira of mammon. Those things, the boshes and pagam, he would have to pay, whether Reuven brings edim or whether Shimon just admits it on his own. Therefore, that's a strong enough thing for him to be chayev the keren and the chomesh and the osham for that. So that's the mission. Now, within that, Bomi ne Abaya ne Rabba. So now Abaya asks Rabba as follows. What if he goes beyond the case? So fine. So what are we saying in the Mishnah and Shavuos over there? The argument between them is both Reuven and Shimon are Reuven also agrees that the case has not been decided and based in yet. He's just saying, to begin with, before the case is even brought to based in, he wants Shimon to admit that he had done it. And if he had admitted, then again he wouldn't be paying knas, but he would still, he would still be paying boshus and pagam. So now Abaye asks, what about ha'omer l'chaveiro? What if Reuben says, onas to upitisa es biti? Not only you were ma'anes or mafata my daughter, v'hem adticha b'din. I actually have already brought you to Beis Din, v'nitzchayavta limomen, and Beis Din decided, Beis Din heard the edim and the evidence, and they decided that you are chayav to pay me money. And Shimon denies the whole thing. Then he swears falsely to that. And now, later on, he's moida. The question would be, what would Reb Shimon say about that? Would Reb Shimon still say that in that case, he's potter because we're dealing with knas, and knas he doesn't pay out the atzmai? Or would we say that at this point, once Reuben is claiming that it was already brought to Beis Din and the case was decided, then it transitions from being knas to being mum? So that's the question. The question is, my, what would Rav Shimon say? Kiven de Omer Badin, once they already brought the case to Beis Din, Mamona Havoi, at that point it becomes a question of Mamon, it's an ordinary question of Mamon, Umchayev, Alei Korban Shvua, and therefore he's going to be Chayev a Korban for that swearing falsely. Oidilma, Afagab de Omer Badin, Knas Havi, or maybe do we say, even though they already went to Beis Din. In other words, the first possibility is that at this point, if Shimon were to admit, then he would have to pay, because Beis Din already, the original Beis Din, already required him to pay up the Adim, so therefore it's a regular kfira of Mammon. On the other hand, we could say that maybe he's potter from a Korban Shavua, because this comes out of a case that involved a Knas. Maybe the Torah is only Mechayev when it was never a Knas in the first place. Maybe the Torah is only Mechayev a Korban, and so forth, only when it was not a Knas in the first place. For example, Rashi says, let's say it was a Pekodrin, or a loan, or what have you, where there was never any issue of Knas in the first place. So what would be the din? Omalei, according to Reb Shimon, Omalei, so Rabbah answers, as a matter of fact, yes, it would be a case of Mamon, and therefore he'd be chayev a korban shvuah for it. Even though it started out as knas, but now, once he's already claiming that it already got past the stage of knas and got to the stage of mammon, then yeah, it would be considered mammon, and therefore he's gonna be chayev, just like he'd be chayev a korban shvuah, and the other consequences, just like with any other case of mammon. Tosfos actually brings a different girsa and a different explanation, that the question is not so much the question is not so much as far as the korban shvua, the question is rather the question is, do we say that it's still a case of moed b'knas potter? So in other words, even though they already went to Beis Din, since it started out as a knas, we would still say moed b'knas potter, then maybe in that case we would still say that it has the rules of knas and not the rules of mammon. So Rabbah is answering him that no, it is considered mammon, so therefore both things apply. If he were to be moed at this point, he would be chayev, and therefore he's chayev a korban shvua. Okay, so the Gemara continues, Eisvei, so Abaye says to Rabbah, if you learn that way, that's considered mammon, then I have a contradiction. The Abraisa says, Reb Shimon Eimer, Yochol Oimel Chaveiro Amnasto Petisa Esbiti, you would think that in the case where Reuben says to Shimon, you were Ma'anes, or you were Mafata, my daughter, Vuhu Amel Loyo Nasti Vole Petisi, he says, and Shimon says, no, I did not. Or, for example, that Reuben says, Hamis Shurchas Abdi Vuhor Emeloi Hamis. Reuben says, your Shur killed my Eved. Whereas we learned yesterday, the payment of 30 Sloyim for an Eved is also a Knas, because it doesn't depend on the actual value of the Eved. It's a fixed amount that the Torah says he pays, and such a thing is considered a Knas. So Reuben claims the thing, Vuhor Emeloi Hamis, and Shimon says it did not. Or here's a third case of knas. Osha omalei avdo he paltas shini v'simisias eni. His own Eved Knani says to Reuven, you knocked out my tooth, or you blinded my eye, or cut off any of the various other Rosha Evorim for which an Eved Knani would go free, and Reuven denies that. Now that kind of thing also is considered a Knas, Rashi explains, because fundamentally, why should a person have to flee his Eved because he knocked out his eye or his tooth? On the face of it, after all, his Eved is his property. No different, let's say, than a donkey. If you have a donkey and you accidentally knock off a tooth or an eye or whatever from it, obviously that doesn't require you to set free the donkey. It's your own, you caused yourself your own loss. On the face of it, the same thing ought to apply to an Eved, but the Torah tells us no, that the Eved goes free for that kind of thing. So that's an example, so that's also an example of Knas. So all those things we know, that if he were to admit that in fact he did that, he would be potter from the Knas. In all those cases, you need Edim for him to be Chayev. So now, says Reb Shimon, in all these cases, the Nishba V'Hoga, in any of these cases where he swore, about the claim, and it turns out that it was false, and later on he's Moda, so Reb Shimon says, Yochol Yehei Chayev, you would think that he would be Chayev to pay out because after that he would be chayv to pay the keren b'chomesh and pay the, and give the korban. No, tamad loyma. Therefore, the pasuk says v'chichesh v'amisa v'tikodim over sumasyon over gazel or oshak asamisa a matzah aved v'chichesh b'avnish ba'alshaker. The pasuk lists a whole bunch of things where a person is chayv for the sasham gzemus and the other things that go along with it. And it mentions that he denies the claim of his friend that the korban as far as a deposit. Or as far as a business deal, where, for example, the other person invested money with him and he claims that he hadn't, or he stole from him, or he's defrauding the other guy by, for example, holding back money that he owes him for a job or something, or he finds a lost object, and the other person is claiming that it's mine, and he denies that he found it. And all of those, the pasuk continues that he denies the claim, the nishbal shaker, and he swears falsely. So now, later on, when he does tshuva, then we make him pay the keren v'chomesh and the asham. So it mentions all those things. So says Reb Shimon, ma'elam yuchodin shein mamon, what can we say that all of those things have in common? They're all a claim of mamon. There's no knas involved in any of those things. Af pol shein mamon. Therefore, the claim that leads to a korban shavua has to be a claim of mammon, yotzu elu shein knas, as opposed to when he says, anasto pitisa, or your shur killed my eved, or the eved says, you knocked out my eye, etc. All of those things are knas, and therefore Reb Shimon is saying that there's no korban shavua for those. Thus far the b'raisa. So now Abaya says, my love, bisha omed badin. Now on the face of it, the b'raisa is talking about even not only when he's claiming it before they ever went to Beis Din, but even after they went to Beis, so they had gone to one Beis Din, Edim had come, and Beis Din listened to the Edim, and on that basis said that Shimon is chayev to pay. Now Reuven is saying, no, where's that money that Beis Din decided that you have to pay? And Shimon denies the whole thing. So it sounds like even in that case, Reb Shimon is saying he's potter. So what are you telling me, Rabbah, that only if Shimon had denied it before the case had gone to Beis Din, then we would say he's potter, because the pasuk is implying that it doesn't apply to Knas. But if it happened after they went to Beis Din and the decision was given, the verdict was given, then we would say he's chayev. If we understand the Braisa is talking about the Sha'om and Badin, then we'd see that Reb Shimon would hold that the same thing applies even at that. And the answer is no, not necessarily. The Braisa can be talking about before they went to Beis Din. So the Edim have not come yet. At that point, if Shimon were to admit and say, yes, I was Ma'anes, I was Mefata, my show killed your Eved, or etc., then he would be potter from paying. So therefore, so now also, when he denies it and swears falsely, we can't call that a kfira of Mamon, such that he should be high of the korban for the Shvuah. But you could say that maybe, in fact, Reb Shimon would agree that if the case had already been decided and based in, and Reuven sues Shimon to actually pay up the money that he's supposed to, and Shimon denies it, maybe, in fact, Reb Shimon would agree that he is chayav. So the Gemara says, "V'ham midreishu b'sham l'badin, sefer nami b'sham l'badin." What do you mean, though? If you look at the first part of that brisa, it seems pretty clear that the first part is talking about after the case was decided and based in. Therefore, necessarily, the sefer which is evidently talking about a different case, has to be talking about where, or the other way around. Since the Reisha is talking about Omer Badin, Sefer Nami B'sha Omer Badin, then the Sefer also, which continues talking about that, has to be talking about the same case. And how do we see that the first part is talking about Omer Badin? Because the Katani Reisha. Because let's look at the Reisha of that same Braisa. The Braisa starts out by saying, that when we say that when the Reisha is the opinion of the Chachamim, we started with Rav Shimon's opinion, but before that in the Braisa, you have the opinion of the Chachamim who say that he is Chayav Korban Shavua in those cases. So the Braisa says, if you only had the list in the Pasuk, then you would only know things for which you pay keren. All these things that we listed in the pasuk, all these things we listed in the pasuk, gozel, sumas yod, kodun, etc. All of them. If he admits and he pays the keren right there on the spot, and there's not necessarily an extra payment involved. How do we know tashlum kefal tashlum abal v'chamisha while ones v'amafato moti shem raminayin? How do we know that this whole concept of korban shvua applies even to things that are knas, such as the kefal payment for theft, or tashlum abal v'chamisha, the 4 or 5, if he not only stole but shechted or sold the animal, or ones v'amafato or moti shemra, which we're going to talk about later on in the parak, which is the case where the husband falsely claims that his wife was mezana during the erusin, where if it turns out that it's a false claim and his edim are edim zomin, then we make him pay a knas. So how do we know minayin? How do we know that the concept of korban shavua applies to all of that? Talmud Lomar, or mo'al amal riba. The Chachamim say, because the pasuk starts by saying that the pasuk says that a person sins against Hashem and commits a trespass against Hashem, and then it continues with that list that we quoted before, but because maybe sumas yod begozel, etc. So the words of mal amal, the double expression riba, comes to include these cases of knas as well. Now says Abaya hechidam. Let's consider. By the way, why are the Chachamim giving a different list than Reb Shimon? Later on the Gemara is going to distinguish between different kinds of knas, between amounts that are fixed, where we know in advance what the amount is that he's on the hook for, versus ones like Boshus and Pagam, where Beis Din is going to have to evaluate it at the time. So here, Tosfos Ishanim brings that maybe Reb Shimon would agree in the case at least of Tashlomei Kefal and Abba V'Chamisha, because the amount that he would have to pay is no, if it turns out that the claim is true, is known in advance. On the other hand, there are Rishonim who say that maybe the Chachamim and Reb Shimon didn't necessarily come to argue one against the other in the first place. So the Chachamim gave their list, Reb Shimon gave his list, and eventually they meet up and they find that they're in conflict. Anyway. So now let's consider, says the Gemara. Hechid says Abaya. Hechid Domi. Now, what's the scenario where the Chachamim are saying, again, remember the case is that Reuven, after making this claim against Shimon and Shimon denying it, then he beswears Shimon, and Shimon answers Omen, and therefore becomes Chayev, and then therefore has now sworn a false Shavua. So Hechid Domi. So what's the scenario? If we're talking about before the case was ever brought to Beis Din, how is there kefal at that point? After all, you need evidence in Beis Din that he bechlal stole. You can't say that he's high of kefal before they even bring the case to Beis Din. He's not yet high of in the kefal until Beis Din tells him he is, especially because, as Rashi says, he might be Moedan, he might be Potter. There's no kefal yet up there. There's no kefal yet at that point. Ela pshita b'shalom badin. So obviously we have to be talking about that. They already came to Beis Din. And the case was decided. And the Chachamim are saying, since the case was decided, then therefore we say that even though it started out as a knas, Nevertheless, now it becomes a tviya of money, because now the case was decided in Beis Din, and now it becomes like any ordinary case where Shimon owes Reuven money. Well, since the Reisha, the Chachamim's opinion, necessarily has to be talking about Omer Badin, then so does the Sefer. That would mean, therefore, that in Rav Shimon's opinion also, we have to be talking about where he was on the Badin. And still Rav Shimon seems to be saying that he's Potter from Korban Shavua. So that would mean that Rav Shimon is looking at the fact that it started out as a Knas. Yes, now it went from a Knas to Mammon because after all, Basin decided that he owes the money, so it should be considered like any regular claim of money. But apparently we're not saying that. Apparently Rav Shimon still considers the fact that it started out fundamentally as a Knas, and therefore the rules of Knas apply. So how can you tell me, Rabba, that Rav Shimon would say that once it became Mammon, then yes, he is Chayev? So Rabba answers, I could give you an answer that the two parts of the Braisa are talking about two different cases. And in other words, that Rav Shimon is not arguing about all the possible cases, only about the case. He's only arguing about Loy Omer Bedin. He says, V'cholah Rav Shimon, I could answer you that really the whole Braisa is according to Rav Shimon, that there's no machloikas in the Braisa, that there's no machloikas in the Braisa at all. The whole thing is according to Rav Shimon, and the first part is saying, and the first part is talking about after Omer Bedin, and the Sefer is talking about before it. However, Rabba says the shinuya dechiki lo mishaninu. However, I'm not going to give you a kvetched answer like that, an answer that you have to kvetch into the braisa like that. Dimken, I'm going to leave this new ration of Shimon Omer, or this new safer did Reb Shimon. Because after all, then you're going to ask right back at me. Then why does it mention Reb Shimon in the middle? If the whole braisa was meant to represent Reb Shimon's opinion and talking about the different possibilities of Omer Badin versus Loy Omer Badin, either the braisa should have started out by saying Reb Shimon Omer and go on and say everything that Reb Shimon says, or it should say at the end that Divrei Reb Shimon, and then we would say the whole braisa would be like Reb Shimon, like this one you have in the middle. First you have a statement over there about this list of things, that how do we know that Korban Shavua applies? It says Mal Riba, and only then does it say Reb Shimon Omer, and then it starts saying Reb Shimon, then evidently that means that Reb Shimon is in fact the author of only the second half of the Braisa. So I'm not going to try giving you an answer that the whole Braisa goes according to Reb Shimon, and we're talking about two separate cases. Ela Kula B'Sha'omer Badin. So no, I'm going to agree with you that the whole Braisa is talking about, I'm going to tell you that the whole Braisa is talking about Omer Badin, the Reshid Abonim, the Sefer of Shimon, and therefore that we do have a Machloikas in the Braisa. The first half is appointed to Abonim, the second half is appointed of Shimon. Now Rabba says, I am going to partially agree with you when it comes to Korban Shavua, that Reb Shimon would say, so unlike what I said before, that across the board, Reb Shimon is going to say that he's chayev in a Korban Shavua once they already went to Beis Din, once Omer Badin, where he had said on Omer Aleph, Mamoina Havim, chayev alei Korban Shavua. So now, Rabba says, I'm going to agree with you that when it comes to the specific matter of Korban Shavua, Jerachmona Patre mi v'chichesh, where there we can say the Torah patres him from the Korban because we learn from the expression in the pasuk b'chichesh that this din applies only when you have, as Reb Shimon had brought the pasuk, that the pasuk lists only things that started out as mammon. So I will agree with you that in many cases of knas we are going to say that. Tosfos explains on Amud Aleph that originally Rabba figured. So what it was is like this. Rabba learned from his Rebbein that it's considered mum. So first, Rabba thought that means it's mum across the board, including as far as Korban Shavua. Now, Rabba is telling us that no, as far as Korban Shavua, then that must be, when I learned from my Rebbein that Reb Shimon says it's considered mum, it must not have been as far as the question of Korban Shavua, it must have been as far as a different matter, which he continues in the Gemara over here, v'chikam min a mum'in habi, when I say that such a claim is considered mum'in, because he's saying that it already went to Beis Din and was decided, I'm saying lahu risho levono. That's in terms of, can he bequeath it to his sons? Now, if it were still considered a knas, then we would say that, like any other knas, he doesn't bequeath it to his sons, and therefore, once he passes away, then that's it, the case is closed. But now, was saying that once we're talking about, the Braisa is talking about where the case was already brought to Beis Din and decided, if now the money hadn't been paid yet, and Reuven says to Shimon, where is my money? This whole case was brought to Beis Din already and decided, and you're supposed to pay me such and such. And Shimon denies it and swears falsely on it. That is when we would say that when Shimon eventually does tshuva and wants to pay it back, then he has to pay the Keren B'choymesh to Reuven's heirs. But as far as the Korban Shmua, you're right. The Pasuk would patter him appointed of Shimon because it started out as Knas. Still Eisve, but then Abaya still asks on Rabbah. Now let's look at our Mishnah. This is why we're bringing the sugya in over here, because we're bringing in our Mishnah as a proof. Reb Shimon, where we said in our Mishnah that Reb Shimon says, in the case of Ones and Mefata, if you didn't have a chance to collect the money, now Reb Shimon, again, we said in the Mishnah, doesn't distinguish between whether the Gemar Din took place, whether the father was alive or not. He distinguishes between whether the money was actually paid out while the father was alive or not. And Reb Shimon says, if the money wasn't paid out, Ad Shemesa Av, until the father died, Hare and Shalatzma, then the money goes to her. Then the money goes to her. Now, if you, Rabbi, are telling us that now at this point, once they already finished the case and based it, then it's considered mamon in the sense that it can be bequeathed to his sons, then why does it go to her? It should go to her brothers, just like anything else that's yaushin from the father. So that explanation doesn't really work. So it's not only a matter of that appointed of Shimon, we would have to say it's not considered Mammon insofar as the dinim of Korban Shavua. It would have to even be appointed of Shimon that it's not even considered money as in the sense of being part of his estate that's bequeathed to his sons. So what happens? So Omar Rava, Hai Mils Hakashoiba Rabba Rabbi Yosef Esrim the Tautin Shin, Rabba and Rabbi Yosef were questioning this matter for 22 years. 22 years was the total amount of time that Rabba was the Rosh Hashiva. So throughout all that 22 years, they always had a question on this. How do we reconcile that? How do we understand Rabbi Shimon's opinion if on the face of it in our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon is saying that it's not even considered money as far as bequeathing it, and Rabba's been saying that it is, and it's only not considered mammon as far as Korban Shvua. V'loy Ifrit, they never were able to answer it. Ad Yosef Rabbi Yosef Beresha, until Rabbi Yosef became the Rosh Hashiva, after Rabba passed away, Upirka, and then he was finally able to answer it. Rashi explains that what happened was that Rabbi Yosef was given special siyata d'shmaya to answer it, because Rabba was known to be the chorif. Rabba was known to be the very sharp one who was always able to come up with good answers to questions, to stiris. Whereas Rabbi Yosef's prowess was more in the area of Sinai, that he was an expert. He knew lots and lots of facts in Torah, lots of all the Mishnayos and Braises and everything. So now when Rabbi Yosef became the Rosh Hashiva, people would have been apt to say, what's Rabbi Yosef compared to our former Rosh Hashiva, the Chorif Rabba, and therefore Min HaShemayim, Hashem helped him to be able to answer this question that had defied Rabba, Rabba hadn't been able to answer for the last 22 years, and now Rabbi Yosef was able to answer it, so that way everybody would realize that Rabbi Yosef is a worthy successor to Rabba and a worthy Rosh Hashiva. And the actual answer is going to be that there's a difference between the knas of Onus and Mefata versus other kinds of knosses. So what Rabba had said about the knas turning into Mammon after Omad Badin would be valid when it comes to other knosses, but not when it comes to the knas of Onus and Mefata. So the answer was Shiny Hosam to Amakra, the Nosana Isha Shaykhavi Malavia Naira Hamishim Kosit. The Pasuk says that the man who lay with her should pay the father of the girl 50 silver coins. Meaning the word v'nosan teaches us, loziksa Torah la'av ela mishas nesina. So Rav Shimon is going to say that the Pasuk is implying that the Torah is only giving the father the rights to that money only when it's actually given, only when v'nosan takes place. So when Rabba is saying that's considered mammon as far as that he can bequeath it to his children, even according to Rav Shimon, would be b'shar knosses, would be other kinds of knosses where you don't have that expression, v'nosan. So that would be the difference. So Rabba's distinction, according to Reb Shimon, is still valid, but only when it comes to other knosses, not when it comes to onus and mefata. And therefore, our Mishnah doesn't contradict him. So in short, we would say, according to Reb Shimon, when it comes to onus and mefata, then Reb Shimon would say until the money is actually in his hands, then it's not considered his mammon. Whereas when it comes to other kinds of knas, we would say once there was Omer Badin, once it was decided and based in that that money has to be paid out, then already it's considered his as far as bequeathing it to his children. As far as Korban Shavua, that wouldn't apply, and that wouldn't apply in that case because it did start out as Knas. Okay, so the question is, Elamei Ata Gabe Eved. So you're telling me the difference is because by the Onus and the Fata, it uses the expression Vinosan, that he should give. So what about by an Eved? We said before that when an Eved is killed by somebody's shur, then you also have Knas, because he pays 30 shkolim, and we say that that's considered a Knas because it doesn't depend on the value of the Eved. So consider what happens by an Eved. The expression in the pasuk is that he should give 30 shkolim to the master, to the owner of the Eved. So you're going to say the same thing, that the Torah is only mezakeh to him when it's actually given. And Reb Shimon doesn't seem to be making such a distinction. We don't find Reb Shimon arguing like that when it comes to the 30 shkolim for an eved. So what's the difference? And the answer is, yitein l'chud v'nosan l'chud. The answer is, there's a difference between the word yitein that it uses by the eved. Yitein is a commandment. In the future, he should give. The nosan, now it's true, the nosan means also, and he shall give, but it's phrased in a way. The word nosan in and of itself is past tense. So we put a vav ahipoch at the beginning of it, so it becomes future tense, and he shall give. But nevertheless, since the Torah phrases it that way, using a word that essentially is past tense, then it implies only if it's past tense that it was given to the father, only then does it become mammon, according to Reb Shimon. Whereas if it wasn't given yet, if it's only in the stage of yitain, then we're saying it's not yet his. As opposed to by the Eved, it does use the word yitain, and therefore you don't have that distinction. Okay, the question is ihochi. So if that's how we're understanding Reb Shimon's opinion, then we said on Omer Aleph, when we quoted Reb Shimon's opinion on this subject, we said Reb Shimon says, how do we know that in this case where a person is denying a claim that started out as a knas? We said, how do we know that he's potter? So, and he brought the pasuk tamagloimer b'chichesh. So he brought the pasuk that lists where a person denies any of a half dozen claims, all of which are mum. So if you're going to tell me that Reb Shimon is making the distinction between onus and mefata versus the other kinds of knosis on the basis of that one says v'nosan and the other ones don't, yehochi tamagloimer b'chichesh, then why is Reb Shimon bringing in the pasuk b'chichesh, tamalevim v'nosan, he should be saying, the pasuk says v'nosan, and we're learning from that that it applies in the case of onus and mefata only when the money was actually paid. So Omar Rava, answers, ki itzir v'chichesh, yes, but what it is that Reb Shimon still needs the pasuk b'chichesh to teach us about onus and mefata as well, in the sense that, kigoyin sh'omde badin u'bogra u'mesa. What would happen if they did go to Beis Din, the case was decided, then she became a begeres, and then she passed away. So now what would happen is like this. So if Omde Badin and then Bogra, at that point, then that money belongs to her. Because after all, we see in the Mishnah the same way that we said in the Mishnah, and we said there's even a different Gersa in the Mishnah, the same way as Reb Shimon says that once her father passes away, then it's considered, that Reb Shimon says that it's a matter of when the money was collected. We said if she didn't collect the money until Mesa'ab, then it belongs to her. He would say the same thing as far as if she became a Begeris before she collected the money. So the Tanakama would still say that because the case was decided and based in when she was a Naira, then therefore it still goes to her father, and from him goes to the Yoshim. And Reb Shimon would say that it belongs to her. So now what happens if after that, after she became a Begeris, now she passed away? So now let's consider. She passed away without children. Who's going to Yoshin her? Her father. So then we would say if she didn't collect the money yet, so it's still, she's still supposed to be collecting the money, and then before she collected it, she became a begeris. So now at that point, the money should belong to her, but now she dies, so now the money goes to her father as mum and gummer. because after all, he yaushins from her just like he would yaushin any other source that she has. So we can't say, in other words, that we should patel the other guy on the basis of the word v'nosan, because this is a different case. Even though the money had not been given yet, the fact is she's still entitled to it at this point. And then she dies, and her father is getting it, not in an ordinary way where he gets money that came as a result of his daughter, because that would only be where she's a naira, but rather he gets it as Yerusha. So let's look in the Gemara. So ki yitzrich b'chichesh, we need the pasuk b'chichesh to tell us that there's still no korban shvur to gan sh'om de badin. The case was brought to Beis Din and decided u'bagra. Then she became a begeres, and then before om de badin, the case has already been decided. The guy owes the money. Now she became a begeres, so now that money is supposed to be paid out to her. Umesa, and then she dies. Dahasim ki kayoris avia minon didok kayoris. When her father is yarshining, he's yarshining from her, and therefore we're saying. So now though, Reb Shimon would still say, since fundamentally it began as knas, then therefore we're still and the pasuk b'chichesh is listing only things that are not knas. Therefore we're saying the guy is not going to be chayev for a korban shvur. So the question still is, Yihachi Yotzu Elishen Knas, then what do you mean? Rav Shimon is saying, as opposed to these cases, including Onus and Mefata and so forth, which are Knas. What do you mean? It's not Knas. Momen. At that point, if we're talking about after Gmar Din, then it's already Momen. So it's not Knas anymore. And the answer is, Omer Rav Nachman Yitzchok Yotzu Elishen Ikram Knas. Okay, what we mean is that as opposed to Onus and Mefata and Tefal and so forth, which started out as Knas. Since they started out as Knas, even though now, after Gmar Din, they've transitioned into becoming Mamon, nevertheless, they're still considered, since they started out as Knas, then Rav Shimon is still going to say that they still have some of the Dinim of Knas, in particular, namely, that Korban Shavua doesn't apply to them. Okay, so we'll continue that discussion tomorrow, Bez Hashem, about what Reb Shimon and the Chachamim are saying about this respectively.
Yeah. Go ahead.